take a look for a little while here at, well, love. Love of diversity, love of people, love of humanity. Not a given. But let's focus for a little while on what Bonner Group's hosting of Latasha Morrison will bring us when it comes to racial tension, reconciliation, and the church. Will we ever see the church? I shouldn't say will we ever, because fortunately we had some people, godly people, who really did take the lead centuries ago in bringing slavery to an end. Will we see the church take the lead in the future and at least really, really pushing for racial harmony? We're not going to achieve racial harmony. Don't mean to be cynical or pessimistic, but I do believe in being realistic. And we know that people have their hearts, people have their attitudes, people have their mindsets, people have their dispositions. And there's no need for us to kid ourselves into thinking that the day is going to come before the Lord Jesus arrives on his earth, into thinking, believing, assuming that racism is going to go away before then. That's not going to happen. As I've been saying for probably the last 20 to 30 years, we're going to have people changing their minds, their hearts, their views about matters of ethnicity. And a lot of people are going to say, hey, look, you know, this is wrong. Racism is wrong. I'm no longer going to be in that camp. And you're going to have a lot of people making that move to embrace people regardless of ethnicity. But we're also going to continue to have people who are going to be training and recruiting for hatred, including ethnic hatred, hatred of people of different ethnicities. That's just a reality. But that doesn't mean that those of us who truly care about what's right, those of us who truly care about pleasing our Creator, pleasing God, relating to mankind the way He intended for us to relate to all of mankind, and not just those members of the human community who have our same pigment, complexion, etc. Having said that, I want us to resume a discussion that we'd had a few times, have not had for quite a while, and that is hearing what American Muslims have to say about life on earth, life in America in particular. Just before we go there, though, and we'll be getting that information courtesy of Pew Research. They've done some great research and conducted some great surveys. And again, we're hearing from American Muslims. Some of you may recall that one of the things that we learned as we've been, quote unquote, hearing from American Muslims is that they actually have lower tolerance, less tolerance for things like using violence for political and religious reasons than the general populace in America. So that said, again, as I said before, I'm not trying to encourage anyone to convert to Islam. As most of you know, I'm thinking by now, my religion of choice is Christianity. And that's the religion that I embrace. And so I'm certainly not proposing that anyone change religions. If you are a person who considers yourself to have no religion, I'm not saying go with Islam. I want us to hear from American Muslims, though, the people, the humans. Because behind every religion, there are people. Within Christianity, people. Some who are sincere, some who are not. So let's just hear from American Muslims, hear what they have to say about so many issues that concern Americans in general. But just before we go there, just before we resume that discussion, let's hear from Latasha Morrison as she talks again about racial tension, reconciliation, and the church. Where do we stand with regards to these matters, church?
So I have invited Latasha Morrison to be with us here. Tasha, you and I have been friends for a while, and you've really helped me a lot on my journey of trying to understand what's going on in our country. And you have started these Christ-centered conversations with a discussion guide. Be a bridge, right?
Be the bridge.
And you have this these discussion groups you put together. And you have like 500 of these discussion groups that are happening all over the country off of this discussion guide. So you've learned a lot about having these conversations, which is something that I think any church in America that's paying attention to what's going on in culture is trying to figure out, how do I respond to this? How do we deal with this issue? What's going on out there? Why are we having these problems in our country?
I think, you know, with the Be the Bridge groups, it's a relational approach. It's like an on-ramp so that we can start communicating in relationship with people who don't look like us. And a lot of this the issues with this conversation starts because, you know, for a lot of the situation that we're having is we haven't done the work of racial reconciliation. We haven't done the work. We think that, oh, we change a few laws and we change some systems, and there we have reconciliation. But if we understand what true biblical reconciliation is and what needs to take place as it relates to repentance, we haven't done that as a country. And we haven't done that, you know, not so much as focusing on the country, but we haven't done that as a church.
Yeah, and why is that? Is it just that we're not listening to each other?
Well, I think it goes deeper. I think, you know, the church is supposed to be a place of healing. The church is supposed to be a distinctive voice, a transformative voice in this conversation. But instead, as the church, you know, what we're seeing now is we're actually a part of the problem. We're bringing chaos into a lot of the situations. We're bringing turmoil and hurt into a lot of the conversations versus healing and restoration. And so I think a lot of it is because we have centered this conversation, you know, on politics versus the message of Jesus, the gospel.
Okay, so as we're having these conversations, right, there's two things that can center the paradigms, politics or the gospel.
Right.
And unpack that a little bit for me.
Well, you know, with politics, you know, there's when you're talking about this and you're talking about, you know, justice, you know, with justice, there's going to be some advocacy, but the conversation and activism, but the conversation can't start with politics because politics are designed to divide us. That's what they do. You know, they pit us against each other. And so when I can't even see the humanity in a person just because they're liberal or just because they're conservative, you know, but we are called to be other. You know, so a lot of our theology and a lot of our politics have been, you know, wrapped in, you know, a lot of our theology has been wrapped into our politics. So we see, you know, our worldview is through the lens of our political affiliation versus our affiliation with, you know, the Son of God. You know.
And that's what your discussion guides have really, I think, why they've taken off, is they start with Jesus at the center and the common ground.
Right. We need to start with Jesus. Jesus needs to be in the middle, and it has to end with Jesus, you know?
I like that. Yeah.
You know.
Okay, so I'm a white guy, and I'm saying, hey, I don't hate black people or any people of color, you know, and they'd welcome in my church and whatever, but that's not really enough, is it? There's really more going on.
Because most people, we all have biases, and we all have prejudices. But I think a lot of things, when we come to the conversation, we don't understand the word racism. And so everybody has their, you know, their definition of the word racism.
Yeah, we're working on different.
Exactly. We're working
on different framework
for, and so how we see this. And so when you don't have that basic knowledge that racism is an ism, is a system. And so we're talking about our political system. We're talking about our educational system. We're talking about our medical system, our judicial system. When we're talking about those type of systems, we're coming to it from two different, you know.
So I'm saying, when I say I'm not a racist, I'm saying I don't hate people.
Yeah, you're talking more from an individualistic standpoint. Uh-huh. I'm coming at it from more of a collective standpoint.
Okay, so we're going to miss each other.
Yeah, you're going to miss each other because, you know, the first thing we say is something about racism. Most people point to, well, I'm not a racist. We've really demeaned it down to racial slurs. And so when you support a racist system, so when you support a judicial system or an education system that's not for everyone, that's not for that has the marginalized at the heart of what we're doing, when it's not, that system is not for everyone, then you are creating marginalizations. You are creating a system that's not for everyone. We're looking out for one group of people. And so those are the things we have to understand, is these barriers that separate us. And so we really have to have the same terminology. We have to start talking the same way and having the same type of discussion as it relates to that. So there's a big difference between racial prejudice, you know, and racism. You know, and so there's differences in that.
Yeah, so if I'm a pastor and I'd like to try and figure out how to bring healing into my community, what are some of the things that I have to kind of think about?
I think as a pastor, one of the things that you need to think about first is yourself, and really start looking at where those blind spots are. I think, you know, we have to improve our cultural intelligence, our cultural competency. We have to start looking to, especially if you are from the majority culture, you need to start looking to people of color. You need to start listening to people of color that, you know, are really experts in this. You know, this is no new issue. This is something we look scripturally that has really, you know, this, you know, although, you know, Peter, you know, walked with Jesus, you know, but he was still prejudiced, you know? And so we have to think about that. So if he can be with Jesus, and he's right there when Jesus is telling the story about the Good Samaritan, and he's right there when they're, you know, talking to the woman at the well, but he missed it.
And he's still struggling with those Gentiles.
Exactly. Yeah. He missed it. He missed it. And so a lot of us, we're missing it. So I think you really have to really start uplifting the voices of the marginalized and really start listening and reading and watching, you know, because you can't learn from yourself, you know, when you're bringing, you know, your prejudice into the conversation. So I think it's really good for pastors to really listen to those voices that are unheard. You know.
And if they're looking for some help or guidance, where can they download your discussion guide?
Yeah. So this is the point back to our organization is called Be the Bridge, but our website is Be a Bridge Builder.
Okay.
So we want you to be a bridge builder.
Okay. BeABridgeBuilder.com.
BeABridgeBuilder.com. And so we have a discussion guide there, and we're actually updating that discussion guide, and it should be out within the next 30 days of a new guide, a part two to the original guide. And it's just an on-ramp to really start introducing this conversation of the other and how we can really live in unity with one another and be incarnate with one another through relationships.
Tasha, I want to thank you so much just for the way you've changed my life and the journey I'm still on to try and understand this more, but how you've also just really tried to help the church really take this conversation forward, and really appreciate that.
I appreciate that
so much.
You're the great example of that, you know, that someone that has really leaned into this conversation, and you're really trying and bringing others along with you.
Yeah, it's been hard.
How about you all? What are some of the challenges when it comes to the church, saints, men and women of God, young and old, of handling this challenge of bringing the church together across ethnicities, across ethnic lines? How do we remove the lines so that people can just freely interact with each other, freely embrace each other with no barriers in the way? What makes that difficult? Some of it has to do with fear, because we know that, as I was saying earlier, we're always going to have people who are going to be opposed to ethnic harmony. We have people who are making it clear that they are devoted, they are dedicated to doing everything in their power to bring about race wars. That's not going away. And one of the things we know is that very often when people make the decision that they are going to dedicate themselves to spreading hatred, ethnic hatred, one of the things that they do is work very, very hard to hurt, to harm anyone who stands in the way of their goals. And so you can have a white racist who truly hates Jews, hates Hispanics, passionately hates black people. Doesn't hate white people. They're a white racist. Not all white people are racist. I know there are a lot of white people who say all people, including all white people, are racist. I still don't buy that. I still don't believe that. And that's why I qualify by saying the white racist, just like you have black racists and Hispanic racists and on and on. How do we go about the business of working to pull people together, especially when the people, let's say the white people who are not racist, white people who truly want to bring people together across ethnic lines, what are some of their challenges? Well, some of the challenges are they will become hated too by the racist who does not want this harmony to take place. And we saw that decades ago. White people who risked their lives, their jobs, their careers, etc., their homes, to help black people. And they became hated with just as much vitriol as the black people they were trying to help were hated. It's something that should be done, can be done. It's not necessarily easy. Not necessarily easy, but, well, life isn't about ease. I'll be back.